Well, the British Defence Secretary John Healey has resigned just hours before he was due to meet up with his Australian counterpart Richard Marles at an AUKUS event. The two had met briefly earlier. Mr Healey says he's quitting because the government is unwilling in the UK to spend enough on the military at a time of, quote, rising threats. Junior Defence Minister Al Carnes has also resigned in the UK. Tobias Elwood is a former Conservative Party MP and was chair of the House of Commons Defence Committee and also served as Minister for Defence, Veterans, Reserves and Personnel. He joined me earlier.
Well, good morning to you. It has been quite a day here, and the day's not out. We may see further resignations as well. I mean, firstly, tribute to John Healey. In British politics, maybe it's the same in Australia, you rarely see resignations on principle. People tend to just sort of weather the storm or, follow the crowd and so forth. John Healey's worked very hard behind the scenes to try and make a case, quite rightly, for more defence funding. It didn't come through. This was despite the Prime Minister going to the Munich Security Conference and making it very clear, yes, we're going to spend more on defence. And a year ago, we had a defence review, massive review, which highlighted just the types of threats that are heading our way that we're going to be affected by, indeed are already, but also the massive holes in our capabilities as they currently stand. So now that the money isn't coming, then it's actually good to see that John Healey has taken this step. It's bad for government, there's no doubt about it. I think we're now seeing the dying embers of this particular government, and there will be a new prime minister. It's actually good for British defence and security because it's shone a light for the British people to understand, better understand the true state of where things are at the moment and the fact we need to invest. And you can't really do that unless there is a nation behind the support for more spending. The reason why there's been limited spending is because people don't feel the pressure. Yes, the world feels dangerous, but out there, you know, Britain functions on a daily basis. But that isn't good enough given what is coming over the horizon. And we will now see, I think, a greater calling by the British people to say, let's be grown up about it. Let's put the nation's interest first. Let's invest in our defence. Let's make sure we are protected given what's coming over the hill.
The publication of the government's defence investment plan has been delayed amid reports of disagreement between defence and the Treasury. What is so controversial in this plan? What do we understand?
It's simply just too much. It's the numbers that you're talking about to advance our defence posture. And we're not just talking land, sea and air, those traditional domains, but space, for example. We need a new dedicated security satellite network, Skynet 6. It's still in its bubble wrap, waiting to be launched because there's no money being signed off yet. Our nuclear deterrence needs to be advanced. We're working with you guys on that, but it costs money. Where is that money going to come from? And that's where the defence investment plan was supposed to be agreed, in fact, this week. In fact, it should have come out 8 months ago, but it was now rolled out to be this week. And that's what John Healey saw and decided the money is a good 10, 15 billion short of what's required. And having done all that work, he's decided to step back.
All of this happened while Australia's Defence Minister Richard Marles was scheduled to take part in an AUKUS event with John Healey. Where does this leave AUKUS if the spending is not there across the board?
So one thing I can do to assure Australians is that, I think similar to your system really, is we have an incredible civil service and military who are apolitical. So whilst there may be changes at the top of ministerial responsibilities, the work behind the scenes continues on, and that's very much the case. Britain is absolutely committed to AUKUS. I personally would like to see it expanded to include countries such as Canada and Japan. I think that's where we need to go with these massive, big platforms and sharing of intelligence and so forth. So I have absolutely every faith that these projects will continue to go ahead, even if there are changes in the ministerial makeup.
The House of Commons Defence Committee released its report on the AUKUS Pact in April, urging the British government to devote more money to the partnership. Is AUKUS going to be in some way affected by this, though?
I don't think it would have been. It would have been a priority within what funds were made available because it's so important. But it does highlight, again, the fact that there is this big debate in the UK as to how much to spend on defence. If you're going to increase your defence budget, where does it come from? Do you rob other government departments? Do you increase taxes? Or do you borrow money? And all of those are unpopular. I would really like to see all three or four main political leaders get into a room over here and agree to ring fence an increase in defence spending. We're now seeing polling taking place in the UK that people do feel the world's getting more dangerous, that we are vulnerable, that many of the attacks taking place against Britain, these aren't in distant battlefields. They are bypassing them and targeting society directly. And our capabilities here from a, you know, from a vulnerability perspective are very, very limited indeed. We don't have that societal capability to defend ourselves, to have resilience, if you like, where every individual knows what to do if a city is attacked by a massive cyber attack or some form of, even if it was a natural disaster. You see that in the Baltics, you see that in Eastern Europe, but not in Britain. And we need to wake up that that's the world of conflict that we are likely to experience in the future.
Tobias, just finally, John Healey, who's resigned, played a key role in bolstering international support for Ukraine. He also helped to spearhead a maritime security force that would keep the Strait of Hormuz open to shipping after the war in Iran ends. How much will his departure be felt more broadly?
So this is one good thing about Britain, that even when you have a change of government, the tiller doesn't get waxed too hard from one side to another. These big commitments that you're talking about are things that Britain either pioneered or certainly supported from the very, very start. If you think about how many prime ministers Britain has had in the last, 10 years, one solid commitment has been, one continuum has been that support for Ukraine. We started it very much under Boris Johnson, but every single prime minister has been committed to continue that. And that's why I have faith right across the defence and security piece that our commitments, international commitments to NATO, to Australia and so forth, will absolutely continue regardless what happens in the Ministry of Defence.
Tobias Elwood, thank you so much for joining Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you.